Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Some of the so-called church fathers actually mutilated their bodies to prevent their thinking of women. They believed that fulfilling bodily appetites, even legitimate ones, was a necessary evil. Some of them did not eat enough to remain healthy. Others would not lie down while sleeping for fear of thinking about women. A great number of them thought any sexual contact, even in marriage, should be only for producing offspring. Tragically, they had ignored the teaching of the Song of Solomon, of the Book of Proverbs, and of 1 Corinthians 7. They punished themselves for having been created with desires, appetites, and drives. The influence of the church fathers continues into our generation and continues to wreak havoc in the lives of many modern people. Some of those who have mutilated their bodies have justified their actions by what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Will you please listen to these words from the Son of God? If your right eye offend you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. And if your right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. Matthew 5:29-30. As you listen to my reading of these two verses, were you thinking of the necessity of chopping off whatever part of the body which led to your sin? Is our Lord recommending mutilation of the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Dr. John R. W. Stott, an English theologian, wrote a book on the Sermon on the Mount, which he entitled Christian Counterculture. One paragraph from Dr. Stott's book should be enlightening. The command to get rid of troublesome eyes, hands, and feet is an example of our Lord's use of dramatic figures of speech. What he was advocating was not a literal physical self-maiming, but a ruthless moral self-denial. Not mutilation, but mortification is the path of holiness he taught. And mortification, or taking up the cross to follow Christ, means to reject sinful practices so resolutely that we die to them or put them to death. Page 89. We can show very easily the necessity of putting sinful desires and appetites to death. Will you please listen to these powerful passages? Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall a man profit, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Mark 8:34-37. "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Romans 8:13. "They who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Galatians 5:24. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience." Colossians 3:5-6. All of these passages, including our Lord's statements in the Sermon on the Mount, should remind us of the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Whatever sacrifices we have to make in order to live in harmony with God's will and to receive the heavenly reward will be worth the effort. But if we miss heaven, regardless of how much we have accumulated in this world and how much fun we have had, we shall have an eternity to regret our foolish choices.